This is Summit to Talk About, your one-stop podcast for all things hiking, hills, wild camping, and the great outdoors. I'm Ryan Dodge-Cook, and in this episode, we went into Macclesfield Forest with James Moon for some meditation and an incredibly enlightening chat about his life, from alcohol and drug addiction to sobriety and nature. He now helps others do the same through his group, Fancier Walkmate. But before we start, I'd like to mention Hiker and Zolio. If you haven't heard of Hiker, where have you been? Hiker have created the go-to app for all my adventure planning and navigation needs. There's thousands and thousands of preloaded trails all over the world to explore, whether that's from your doorstep or on a far-flung expedition or multi-day hike. The routes are packed with useful information such as accommodation, public transport, and shops along the way. And get this, you can get Hiker for free and download maps for offline use for absolutely no cost. However, if you love the app, treat yourself to extra cool features by upgrading to Hiker Pro Plus, and you can get 20% off your subscription by following the link in the show notes. I'd also like to thank Zolio. I've been using the Zolio satellite communication device this year whilst in the great outdoors. Where I'd normally have no phone signal, Zolio has me covered by connecting me anywhere on the planet via the Iridium satellite network. It's given me and my family peace of mind, knowing I'll always be connected using the easy-to-use app with familiar messaging. The Zolio monthly plans are very competitive, and they're offering Summit to Talk About listeners free device activation with the code RyanXZolio during your setup. Now it's time to be at one with nature as we head deep into Macclesfield Forest. So today we are in Macclesfield Forest, a beautiful setting. It's really relaxing, completely surrounded by nature. I say surrounded by nature, but actually I'd say, looking at it from a different way now, we're just in nature rather than surrounded by
it.
We're a part of it, yeah. Let's say that then. So we are joined by James Moon from Fancier Walkmate. And we found James on Instagram. And James has been doing some fantastic things with men in the outdoors. And we'll let James explain that in greater detail shortly. But thank you very much for inviting us here to Macclesfield Forest, because first time we've ever been here.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. Really, really nice. And just before we came and sat down here, we found this nice spot. We've been down by the water, and James has spoke to us about what Fancier Walkmate does and how it benefits people. And we did a little bit of meditation, and it was beautiful, really awakening, and I think something that we need to do more of. So welcome to the podcast, James.
Thank you very much.
It's great to meet you. What I want to do is delve into Fancier Walkmate, but the person behind it, and that's you. So how did it all begin for you? What has drawn you into the outdoors and nature? Because I'm assuming Fancier Walkmate hasn't been going forever. So it's something that has been born from a passion or from a need, maybe.
Maybe it's a
need for yourself or something that you've spotted in somebody else. So tell us where it's come from and a bit about you.
Yeah, no problem. First, I just want to say thank you for inviting me. It's an absolute honour and a pleasure to be here. Particularly just to have this time and this peace together in nature is massively important, you know. And I'm super, super chilled out and relaxed now, particularly after the meditation.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
And that's what I want to acknowledge first off, is just like this idea that we are where we're meant to be, you know, surrounded by the beauty of nature, but we are nature. We're here, we're in it, like you said before, Ryan, and that's important to me. So I suppose I felt like this was a calling for me. Nature's always been in my life. And I think that what's important is that nature never lets you down. Mm. Nature is the it's what I believe is the most consistent thing that you can have in life, because it's always there. Yes, that there are different seasons and nature presents itself differently, but it's there for us always. And for anybody that may be struggling, just know that nature is always there for you. Nature doesn't judge. It doesn't require an ego. It listens.
Yeah.
You know, it holds you and facilitates you to be able to do your best thinking, to do the work on yourself that is massively needed. And it's wonderful, you know. So I felt like that was a calling for me that came around at the age of about 34. Okay, that was when I first started going on my journey, my awakening, if you want to call it that, whatever you want to call it. It was a time in my life when the destruction that I was causing was enough. Okay. I had a nervous breakdown through the things that I was doing, the choices that I was making, and that was around alcohol and drugs, particularly cocaine. You know, and I was abusing it, and I was abusing my body, and it affected my mental health massively. And like I said, I was making some really poor decisions in life. I was being dishonest with myself. I was being dishonest with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and I was causing a lot of hurt to those around me. And yeah, and it led me to have a breakdown. And from then, I sort of went on this journey. But I suppose it does all start before that, because like I said earlier, nature has always been in my life. And I have my parents to thank for that. Camping holidays, always out every weekend, no matter what the weather, you know, and that was important for me. We were always out doing something. I think I remember my first memorable adventure was Striding Edge, Helvellyn, at like 8 or 7 years old, you know, and I, not long ago, we dug out some family photos, and there I was with my Adidas t-shirt and slick back shades. And I was like, I remember that day. And we did that every weekend religiously. We were out in nature. So I've got my parents to thank for that. They created this opportunity for me to understand what nature meant. Although back then I didn't know what it meant.
Did you appreciate it back then?
I have memories of sulking, of being out very early on.
Typically being
You know, the first hour or two. You know, we're nearly there, yeah. All those sorts of things. But that soon dissipated into an appreciation that I can now remember and feeling, you know, and adventure. You know, I always say that adventure is what keeps the soul burning, keeps the fire lit within. Like, the idea of an adventure for me is amazing. And I remember Striding Edge and what it meant to me, like the sheer edges and the rocky outcrops and scrambling around and the scree slopes and the steep slopes. But I always felt safe. And I always do feel safe when I'm out in nature. And that's, again, important, that nature holds and nurtures you. And so, yeah, I did. I did appreciate it. And from there, it was scouts, beavers, cubs, all that, you know, regular camping holidays, caravanning holidays. And then I got to, then it was all about girlfriends, drinking alcohol, going out. And, you know, and I've come from that era where we were out at 14 around local churches, drinking
parks,
2 litres of cider, being sick all the time. And I think back now, like, I thought obviously that was all normal. That was part of life, you know, smoking weed and all that, thinking, you know, I've got to do this to be cool and fit in. And it was just something that I did every weekend. And I only had a bit of a realization about this a few months ago, to when I started to go back and look at my drinking journey and thought, shit, you know, wasn't normal, you know, being sick at somebody else's house every weekend.
Yeah.
But yet their parents would normalize it and say it was okay, you know. And I used to remember house parties we'd go to, this one house party in particular, massive house, it was like the party that you needed to be at. And their parents would put big tarpaulins out because they knew that we were just going to be sick everywhere and what have you. And it was okay to do that. And I'm like, well, I think back now and I'm, that's mental.
Yeah.
You know, I started to get involved with that. And then I don't know what it was then. It nature was still there because I was still accessing it. But I wasn't accessing it on a level that I previously had in terms of going out, and enjoying an adventure, because I was drinking, you know, and I was picking that lifestyle over this. And I remember going up through school, and I was one of the lads through school, you know, I was a popular lad, and you know, I would you know, I was very sporty. You know, played on all the top football teams at school and cross country, and I was like, you probably a typical jock in America, but that fed into my ego, and I started to just go a bit crazy and a bit wild. And then I realised that I was very insecure with my height. You know, I remember being at primary school and I was always the tallest kid. And then I got to year 7 of high school and everyone started to overtake me, and I sort of stopped growing in year 7. And it started to play on my mind. I was like, you know, I was really getting down about it. You know, I'd always get the odd comment from the lads, oh, look at short ass here, and, you know, and things like that. And back then it was always like, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt. Well, that's complete bollocks. Yeah. I think we all know that now. You know, words can do more damage than anything. And that was playing out more so than I ever knew. So I was obviously trying to overcompensate for my perception in lack of height. So the gym started to come in, this idea that I needed to be muscly, I needed to be bigger so I could carry myself, you know, needed to go out on a night out and drink the most beers ever and show everyone how much of a cool dude I am, because I can drink loads and then I'm sick everywhere. And actually, all right, you've got weed. Oh, there, give me some of that. Look at me, look at Mooney, that, you know, look at me, what I can do. And started to overcompensate through that. And, you know, people laughed at it. I got a reaction. I was like, okay, this is good. People like me. And then I just became this guy who was just doing stupid things to get attention, to make himself feel good. And it was all good at the time. As I got older, I remember I would always look up to certain figures in my life, and it was always like older boys, older men, you know, teenagers, and I always, wow, he's pretty cool, and I want to be like him. And I was always striving to be somebody else. I was never happy with who I was. And, you know, and yeah, you know, all this wisdom I've got now, if I could inject that back into the younger James, wow. But we'll talk about the past and how everything's a lesson, and you know, we don't look back at our past, we're grateful for him. But I had an older cousin who I looked up to massively, you know, and I was like, yeah, he's cool, I want to be like him. And I remember going out in town and he'd be there and we'd be talking, and it was coming up to a party or something, it might have even been a stag do, I can't remember, but he was like, yeah, we're going to get loads of drugs in and we'll get loads of cocaine in, and I was like, yeah, I already do loads of that. I'd never done that in my life, you know, but at that point, you know, Bernard had done ecstasy and I'd dabbled with a bit of other stuff and that. I was like, I've done that just so easily. Like, yeah. And I was like, I know I need to do that when I see him, because he's going to be part of that. And anyway, that time came and I remember not even thinking twice and just going straight in for it, and was up all night, and that was it. That was at the age of 18, and I didn't stop taking drugs and drinking for another 20 years. Wow. You know, it just, from there it became this drug that gave you confidence, that made you feel on top of the world. I was now 6 foot tall, no matter where I went. I could speak to women. You know, I could do everything that I dreamt of always wanting to do, you know. And then it just started to become part of going out, you know, and just consume me, really. All the whilst I was trying to maintain a level of normality and a level of authenticity, but I was just blinded by it. And you know, 20 years later, I had this breakdown and then went on this journey, this spiritual journey, I suppose, of reconnecting to who I always was. And I think that's important. You know, we might go through these stages in our lives where we're masking our thoughts, feelings and emotions through drugs, through drink, through unhealthy choices, gambling, sex, whatever. But below all that, we're still there. The authenticity is still there and we can always connect back to it. And, you know, for me, I knew that nature had supported me as a young boy. I knew that when I was out there, I felt alive, I felt happy, I felt content. I wasn't being judged. I didn't have to be 6 foot tall. And I knew that by accessing back to what brought me all that goodness, that I could start to reevaluate things again. And I think back, like, there's a lot I've missed out here. And I suppose what I've missed out is, it was always, for me, it was about always having to prove a point to others and myself. So I would go into nature at times with the most heaviest backpack on, load it up like ridiculously heavy, pick a route, and it would always be about putting that on social media, right, I'm going to do this tomorrow and I'm taking this and I'm, yeah, it's going to be amazing. And it was always about, how quick can I get around this route? How heavy can this pack be? And I'm going to show everyone how amazing I am. So I'd get out and I'd do it. My head would be down. I'd be like, come on. And I would miss everything. I've missed everything around me. I've missed that
connection.
And I'd get back, I'd show everyone, like, look how amazing I am. My ego was just getting massive and massive, you know. And then I'd celebrate that with a drink, and then I'd celebrate that with some cocaine, and then it would just spiral out of control again. And I was always wanting to prove a point, you know. And we spoke earlier, didn't we, about the military?
Yeah.
And the idea of the military, and that's something again that I lived with, because I always wanted to be in the military. I always wanted to I glorified it, you know. I'll sit here now, I'll be honest and say I wanted to go to war. As a boy, I wanted to go, because I'd watched so many war films. I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to go to war and I want to fight. And it doesn't comfort me saying that now, because knowing people that have been to war and knowing what the destruction war causes, then I wouldn't wish that on anybody, you know. And thanks to those who have done that. And, but, you know, I wanted that. And I just, now I'm like, wow, that was just insane to think that, you know. But I wanted to go in the army, and I didn't, because at that time I had a girlfriend, and I was guided by my mother, a bit of a mummy's boy then, you know. And I didn't do it, but I felt like I missed out all my life, and I held on to that till I was about 34, and I decided I need to do this, you know. And I think I was very lost then. Things were getting out of control, and I was like, I need something. I need to prove something. I need to prove to myself, or I need to prove to others that I can do it. And so I joined up, and I didn't just join any regular old regiment. I was like, I need to join the most toughest one out there, because that's what's going to make me feel better. And it, you know, and I joined four para and went through P Company, which is a really testing and grueling selection process, and just about scraped through, you know. It was a massive awakening for me, because, as I mentioned earlier, I've always been quite a fit, active guy. But going in at 34 when there's lots of 19-year-old young boys out there, yeah, I wasn't at the front of the pack. So my ego was massively away. My ego, that's probably what taught my ego to be squashed back then, really. And I started to figure things out, started to reflect, and then, like I say, I came out of that because it wasn't for me. Thought I proved the point, and then, you know, went on that downward spiral still, and had this breakdown. And then I started to really look at myself within, and knew that I needed to access this authentic self. I didn't know what that looked like back then, but I knew something needed to change. And I'm very thankful that I have a lady in my life that supported me through all of this. And, I think without her, things could have been very different. You know, and I often think about the pain that I've caused her and the destruction that I've caused, and she's still here. And a lot of people might say, well, more fool her, what's she doing, you know? And but she saw the real me. Yeah. She saw the true version of me. And that in itself is super powerful. It's beautiful for somebody that can see through all the chaos and destruction and see the real person. And she did, and she stuck by me. And, you know, I've got so much love and thanks to give her. But she started to make me... She started to help me build awareness. And I think awareness is massive. Two words, awareness and reflection, are huge words. But it starts with awareness. If you're not aware, you're just stuck in that cycle, aren't you? And I think a lot of men, a lot of people are just existing in a society that they think is the right way to live. You know, down the pub on a Friday night, a few beers, back home, curry takeaway, Saturday night takeaway, whatever. Repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yeah.
Until you're awakened to it, you're not going to be aware of it, you know. And I started to gain that awareness through her, and then I thought, right, let's see what's going on with this drinking and this drugs. What is this all about? Have I got a problem? Am I an addict? You know, what is this? And I went down to Cocaine Anonymous to.
I didn't know that was even a
yeah.
Thing,
there's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's Cocaine Anonymous. There's Narcotics Anonymous. There's Sex Addicts Anonymous. I think there's even a Lip Balm Anonymous. You know, there's tons of it. But they just run a program that is all centered around the same thing. It's a 12-step program, and it's a magnificent program. It's quite a spiritual program. But basically, it just strips you back. It makes you firstly say, "Yes, I am an addict, and I am powerless over this. You know, I have got no control over this."
That's got the power over me,
and I need help. And then you go into looking at yourself as an individual, and this is the best part of it. You've got to go through a process that you have to write everything down that you perceive to be a character defect. Right, you write all that down, and you have to talk to another person about that. So it starts you getting honest with yourself. Mm. You know, then you write down all the people you've hurt in your life, right? And that could be down to the kid when you were three that you stole his truck from. You know, these little things that you did that you probably didn't realise, but they've had a massive impact on you, on your life growing up. You know, there's been lots of trauma in my life. There's been lots of abuse. And I say abuse because abuse doesn't mean that I was abused by somebody. Yeah. Abuse is... the abuse I put myself through, you know, there was a lot of stuff like that. And you start to get real with it. And so, yeah, looking at the people you've hurt, how you hold resentments for things, and then you go and make amends with them people. You know, you try and seek them out and say, look, remember this time? I'm really sorry. I didn't, you know, this is what was going on for me back then. I hope you can find it within you to forgive me, you know. So you go through that. And if I think that's, for me, that was a liberating feeling. Mm. It helped clear out any guilt, any shame, any resentments that I had for myself and others, to be able to then go, right, now the real work starts. Let's go working on myself. Because, you know, if we're holding on to guilt, if we're holding on to shame, if we're holding on to resentments, we're just going to be nasty, angry people. Mm. And we're not meant to be nasty, angry people. You know, I don't believe that anyway.
No.
And I think if you asked anybody, they'd probably say the same.
Yeah.
You know. So then you start to work on yourself. And part of the last step is about service to others. So giving back from a non-ego perspective, like helping other people. You know, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a therapist. And I say that to the lads at Fancy Walk, mate. I'm just a bloke who's gone on a journey. That I've not touched on a lot of it, you know, but I was once a boy who was very lost, and I only became a man at the age, I would say, of 34, 35. And I want to share that journey, and I want to show other men that this is what I've gone through. This is what I do now, that I have accessed parts of me that allow me to love myself, that allow me to go and love others, that allow me to reflect, to be aware, and every day is a lesson. Every day is a teaching, and every day is a blessing. And when I'm in nature, I feel great. And you know, it's for me, it's just about showing men that we all have this capability within us. We all have beautiful hearts within us. And I feel like there's a lot of men that have a lot of emotion trapped inside. Me being one of them, and I'll often be out and I'll cry my eyes out in nature because it's helping me release.
Yeah.
And I just think love is the key to freedom, you know, and that's what I wanna help men with is accessing in the love, you know.
It's loving for everything, isn't it? It's loving for yourself, loving for nature, loving for other people. And I think if everyone accessed that and understood that more, the world would be
a better place.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and as I said before, nature is there to nurture us. It's there to hold us. It's not there to judge us. And if you can access nature on that level, then you can start to figure stuff out. Like I said, my best thinking is done in nature. My best creative ideas are done in nature. My life's problems are generally solved in nature. And sometimes you'll be sat there and it'll just come to you, you know.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that? Because I completely agree. For me, all my best ideas will be when I'm outside in nature. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's... Because, you know, yes, we are comfortable in nature, but a lot of people would say, if you ask them, where's the most comfy place you could be? And they'd be like, on my sofa or in my bed. And
Yeah.
But if I was sat in either of those places, I'd not get any creativity or...
No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't feel the way I do when I come out in nature. What do you think that is?
I think it's very universal and spiritual, personally, you know, and that's... Again, the part of the journey I've gone on is connecting back to this idea of spirituality. And I speak to the men about that. I'm like, listen, lads, do not be off-put by spirituality or if I say God, because I believe God. I believe in God and I believe God is everything. I believe God is all around us. I believe God is nature. It's the tree we're sat next to right now. So I believe that when we're in nature, we are our true selves. We're back to where we came from. Because we are nature. We are everything around us. You know, this body that we have is just a vessel. We are a spirit within that is interconnected to the universe and to the energy that surrounds us that we might not be able to see. And you can feel it when you go out like now and you put your hands on the ground and you put your feet on the ground, you're grounding your earth and whatever you want to call it. But if you just do that, you can feel it. And I know it's all a bit weird and woo-woo, but when you can start to eradicate the mind of the day and of the past and of the future, become present, you can start to tune into it. And that's why I believe we get these creative ideas, because we're back to basics. We're back to where we're meant to be.
And we're not distracted, no. I guess. Like you would be anywhere else, like walking through a city or... You know, it's even just before we were recording, we meditated. I've meditated many times. You've meditated, but never outside.
No.
And you find it so difficult to meditate when you're indoors and there's those distractions. And the whole point of meditation is to slow the mind down and sort of clear it of any other thoughts. And it was just so much easier to do that outside.
Yeah, because if you can just focus on that one. It's all about focusing on the breath, though, for me. And again, I'm not a teacher. I don't fully, you know, understand the everything about it. But I know that the breath is powerful and it breath of life and how we can connect the breath to the body. But, you know, you're focusing on the breath. You might hear a sound of the birds or a fish jump out of the water and splash. And they're reminders, they are, of where you are. They're not distractions. Mm-hmm. They're reminders to go, I'm where I need to be right now. Even the flies around us now that might be perceived as annoying are reminders to go, I'm here, let's go back within. You know, and it's like, it feels safe almost to me.
Yeah.
And it's weird, isn't it? Like, every time I see a field or a meadow, I want to go in it and I want to roll around in it. Every time I see a hill, I want to walk over it.
Yeah.
Every time I see a river or a stream or a lake, I want to sit by it. And every time I see a mountain, I want to scale it and summit it because I want to get the energy from it. Like the mountains, particularly for me, are so powerful and energetic. I just get a lot from them, and I always did, but never knew it.
Yeah.
You know, now I can. It just sounds a bit weird, but if I look out, I can see the energy, and it's like I want to get up there. I want to connect to it. You know, and you think back to thousands of years ago, people would go on pilgrimages up the mountains because they wanted to get closer to God. They wanted to pray and hold ceremonies because they felt connected, and we're just feeling that energy still.
Yeah.
So.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah, it does. And no matter how you look at it, and it doesn't matter, I don't think, in what your beliefs might be, whether you think it might be going to a high summit because you can be nearer to God, whether that's the case or not, you will still feel something. So you might not believe in God at all, but you will still benefit from being.
Totally.
Because no matter what you think, that energy, like you said there,
you'll
definitely feel it.
You can't deny it.
No, it's there. And if you can't feel it, then you most probably have got a lot of chaos going on in your life.
Yeah.
A lot of overwhelming thoughts and feelings and emotions that, you know, would be great to clear out and release and get rid of or reflect and be aware of. Because then when you start to do that, and you can do that through journaling your thoughts and feelings down, seeking help through a therapist or whatever it may be, just clearing that chaos. Allow that energy then in, you know, it's always there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not feeling it, it's because you might not be quite ready for it. You know, things are going on that are holding you back, you know.
It's a bit like when you say like a clean diet, don't you? But you also need that clean diet for your mind as well, don't you? And being aware of what you're feeding it.
Yeah. We read the book before, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get on to talk about Fancy Your Water, Mate, and why I'm so passionate about it, but... The book before was by As a Man Thinketh, written in the 1900s by James Allen, who was writing back then about a self-help book for men. You know, it's like how the thoughts are powerful and how you can lead more fulfilling, purposeful lives through the power of thought. And he talks about your mind is like a garden, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you cultivate the mind, you clear out those weeds and impure thoughts, you know, all that bracken and whatever, cultivate it and sow seeds of positivity and love and kindness, you know, keep doing that and you know, you're going to lead a more fulfilling and purposeful life, you know, and you can do that in nature.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
I think it was spot on when you read that, because I think it is so easy, and I'm just going to go back to where you mentioned people who get into that cycle of, you know, going to the pub on a Saturday afternoon, drinking, getting the takeaway, doing the same thing over and over. That is exactly what he's talking about when he's talking about letting them weeds grow. Because I think it's quite easy to get stuck in that rut. The weeds just grow, and then you've got more to clear out then. So when you finally think this is getting too much, you've got more to deal with.
Yeah.
You've got more to clear out, and then you've got to start fresh. So that completely made a lot of sense.
But I think it's important to not, because I was once that person who was in that cycle of pub, this, that. And you know, it's just important for me to not judge people that are still in that, because they're unaware.
Yeah,
you know?
Completely.
I could only hope that maybe this podcast will reach those people and that they will start to, something might spark off and go, I want a bit what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see what this is all about, you know, and then they can change their ways. And again, this is why Fancy Walk Mate is so important for me, because it creates this opportunity for us men to do that, so that those men can go back and be better fathers. They can be better husbands. They can be better brothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, whatever.
And happier.
And happier and more content, you know. That's important.
And what you said earlier about masking is important, and I can only speak on behalf of men because I am one. But you're absolutely right in that when we do tend to mask it.
Yeah.
Rather than face it and deal with it, and say, right, I need to change this, I need to do that, we will mask it and use our ego, and we'll say, you know, exactly what you did. You'll go out and carry a heavy pack and say, look what I did.
Mm.
I think I'd say 99%, if not 100% of men would have done that at some point.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't know what it is, but
society.
It must be society, the pressures of society. And I don't know if women are the same. You read things about young girls seeing models in magazines and feeling like they have to be. And I guess that's a similar kind of thing, but we always we're trying to prove ourselves. And I don't know whether that's just because that's what men do and we always have done, but.
It's the alpha, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
that's what it is.
Figure,
yeah.
Figure like, bruh, I've got to do this, you know. And
I think that's why that book surprised me, because of how long ago it was written.
Yeah.
And obviously it just wasn't picked up on, because I think. And obviously, kind of the time that you said you were being a lad,
yeah,
and doing all those things, which was completely the norm.
Mm.
But there was a real, like, societal.
Was it the norm though?
Well, it was that phrase, wasn't it? A lad's lad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was, and you saw people on TV being a lad's lad, yeah. and young boys looked at them and said, "I want to be like them." And and even might get hated for saying this, but. You talked about football and how you're not interested in football now, and you're the same, aren't you? But I've had experiences, I worked in a school previously, where football was like the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
And I've had children who've done some horrific things to other children, and because they were the star footballer, were allowed back into school.
Yeah.
And
where's the equality?
Yeah.
You know.
It's crazy that... Yeah. Some forms of behaviour and attitude are kind of put on a pedestal and like, well, that's what you should be like.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, TV probably showed us that, you know. I phrased being the American jock, you know.
Yeah.
How did I know about that? Because I've seen it on a TV programme. Yeah. The jocks, they're amazing. That's what I want to be like. I want to be like one of them. You know, imagine if they showed us films where people were meditating in nature. Yeah. Would we have gone, I want to be like that? Probably not about them, but, you know. Yeah. If they did, it'd be great, you know?
It is strange, isn't it? But it's so hard in our society to be yourself.
Yeah.
It really is quite hard to be yourself. Like, the things that we spoke about before we started recording, some of the things you've mentioned there about your life, it's hard to just be who you are.
Own it.
And own it. I mean, now you get to a certain age, I think, a lot of people do, I certainly have, where... You know, I'm not bothered what people think I look like, or you can own it. But a lot of men can't do that.
Because you've got to that point in your life where you've had an awareness, you've reflected. Think back to when you were a child, you know, we were moulded and shaped to the people that we were probably in our teens, you know, we were guided that way. We weren't to know our parents... Our biggest teachers in life, you know, generally, because we spent the most time with them, you know, and we adopt the same behaviours and patterns of things, generally what they do, or you might not get that where people will rebel completely against it. But generally speaking, you know, your parents are your biggest teachers. And they taught us what they knew, because that's all they knew back then.
They did the best they can in that situation.
You know, as this generation moves on now, it's like for me, I'm doing things completely different. That's not because I resent my parents for what they did. I love them dearly. They did an amazing job. They did exactly what they needed to do, you know, and I'm thanking them for, you know, being sat here now, because they exposed me and showed me nature. But I'm the next generation. I'm changing ancestral patterns because I want my son to not have the things that I had. I want to talk to him. I want him to feel open and honest. I want him to know that he can express emotion, and I'm going to hug it out with him, and I'm going to look at him intently in his eyes and go, how are you doing, son? Are you okay? Let's talk about this. What do you want to, you know, let's talk about relationships and sex, and let's talk about what nature means, you know, and give them that platform that they know that they can have the confidence to open up and that they can show emotion and stuff like that, you know. I'd like to think generations as they go on in the future, we're going to get better at that. And
all evolving, isn't it? And learning.
Of course it is, exactly, yeah.
I think you mentioned it a bit before as well, and I think you've touched on it there. it's that by us appreciating nature and seeing the benefits and looking at things we've done, and we're not saying, well, everybody else is wrong.
No.
It's not. No. It's just like, please come and join us and see how good this is.
Yeah, just experience it a little bit. Give yourself that peace and calm and that clarity that you deserve.
Yeah.
This is the thing, you know, you deserve this because you are a great person. You are a good person. If anyone's telling you otherwise, then they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, believe in yourself. But come and experience this calmness, because you'll access that beautiful heart that you've got within you. And when you've done that, you can clear the mind of any negative thoughts. You can bring that love back for you. And just life just gets so much easier.
This is the best drug there is, if you ask me. I think you go outside and nothing compares to this. No. And it's free as well.
Exactly.
It's
so accessible.
Yeah, totally.
Let's talk about fancier walk, mate.
Yes.
You are clearly very passionate about it, and everything that it is about. So tell us about, let's go into what it is. What is Fancy Walk, mate?
So it's an opportunity for men to connect in nature, to understand that nature is our healer. Nature listens. Nature doesn't judge. Nature doesn't require an ego. It's an opportunity to come and meet men who want to better themselves, who want to break down those limiting beliefs that are holding them back in life, to access some inner peace and calm, to access inner love, to go on an amazing adventure in nature, because adventure keeps the fire burning within. And it's to be surrounded by real, true mates, so that you can go away knowing that you've got a set of mates there that you can talk to about anything, that aren't going to laugh or snigger or take the piss out of you, that aren't going to, you know, bring out that laddish banter that, you know, might seem like it's not causing any harm, you know, but it really is.
Yeah.
None of that. You know, we just create this opportunity of a beautiful space where we can come and be ourselves, where we're not going to be judged, and we can just really release and let go and walk away feeling fulfilled, feeling like you've got a purpose, feeling connected to nature, feeling content. And that word mate for me is important, because I remember going through, you know, Cocaine Anonymous and stuff like that. And I remember saying that was, you know, you've got to change your playground and change your playmates, you know. Yeah. And I know that it's said in many other ways, but if your circle of friends aren't bringing you anything, if the environments that you're in are not bringing you anything, step away and go and find ones that do. Surround yourself with positive people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, change your playground, change your playmates. So, you know, that's why Fancy Your Walk, Mate was there. It's like, because, you know, Fancy Your Walk, Mate.
Mm. It's absolutely,
but the mate, the mate element is really important, because I've had groups of friends who I thought were friends. When I look back, I was just on the smash with them every weekend, chatting absolute rubbish, you know, in someone's kitchen for days on end. And generally going away feeling like crap and just thinking, what the heck? And then repeating it again, like not being able to go, you know what, mate, what I did on that weekend wasn't really for me. I don't want to do it anymore. Can you help me? Because, you know, you'd be like, mate, what are you on about? Come on, let's get on it again. You know, so that term mate for me is really important, because it's, I want to create a real set of true, honest mates. It's like, what can we do with the word mate? Well, let's try and give it a purpose and a meaning, because men meet for the first time, okay? We've not done it because we've got a connection. But you might meet somebody and go, right, what's your name? Oh, shit, I forgot his name. So what have you got? What do you do? You revert to the word mate, because it's so easy and it's acceptable.
Yeah.
But it's got no purpose. I've not got a connection with you. I'm calling you mate. I've just met you for the first time. Forgot your name. I wasn't listening. So I don't really care about you. And I'm calling you mate. And I just think it's like...
It's false, isn't it?
It's false.
Yeah.
So mate for me is about meeting, adventuring. It's about talking. And from all that, we evolve. So it's it's got that purpose behind it. It's got a meaning behind it. So yeah, that's Fancy Your Walk, mate.
And who is Fancy Your Walk, mate, for?
It's for any man out there. It's for anybody. It's it's not, you know, it's not an intense full-on hiking group where we go and smash out. You know, that isn't the purpose behind it. It's about slowing down. We'll take our time when we go out. So it's for people who might want to get out and are a bit unsure. You know, we'll nurture them through it. We'll help them through it. It's for anybody. You know, I've had, you know, my son come who's 14. It's there for any man who wants to make a difference and wants to make a change.
Yeah. And do you find that when people do come, they want to open up? Have they got things that they want to get off their chest? Or is it a bit of a mixture? Do you just get people who just want to come out and join other men for a walk?
Exactly that, you know, Ryan. And that's the important message, is that you get in as much as you get out as much as you put in.
Yeah.
And again, remembering always that you are not being judged. There is no expectation. If you want to come along and walk and sit on the outside and listen to conversations, great. I want you there because I know that you'll get something from just listening. Yeah. I know you'll get something from just being out in nature.
Mm.
You don't have to have them conversations. You can just turn up and be, and just be. That's the word, you know. So, yeah, it's interesting that when you get the guys first coming, there is a little bit of hesitation because it is a bit weird, because I'm coming up to you going, hey, what's your name? Yeah. Give us a hug. You know, I want people to feel special and welcomed. I want to give them a hug because, again, men, I feel, should be giving more love out, you know, and it's not, and I'll often get men who will hug and it'll be really like that. And then, but by the end of it, I'm like, come here, mate. And I'm like, let's make this hug intentional.
Yeah.
Come on, let's feel it, because that shows that I care about you and that you care about me and we've got this connection going on. So, you know, you'll get men that might be a little bit hesitant, but that's why for me it's important that I am the way I am. I am my authentic self because I want them to see me and go, fuck yeah. Sorry, I swore there. You can edit that out. I want them to see me and understand that I was once a lad's lad who was out at the pub every single weekend, most nights in the week, was drinking every night. I was a crazy party animal who was into all sorts, you know, and I'm now a guy that is at one with nature, you know, who is happy to talk about this, who is happy to come and give another man a hug, hug that tree over there, and talk about love and self-love and what that means, you know. So if I give that,
you can do it. Do that. Can do it.
Then they can come and they can see that. And then, yeah, they might be hesitant, but then we'll do, you know, we always start the walks with obviously hugs for everyone. We'll always welcome everybody wherever we meet with tea and coffee or a sausage sandwich. We create a safe space, a loving space. We'll have incense burning, you know, because it's cool, I think. And the guys will open up, and we've got regular men that attend that are really special to me because they help the movement, because they are so
passionate
as well, because they've got the benefit from it.
Mm.
You know, it's helped them through their troubles, and they'll go and tell a new mate about it, you know, and make them feel a little bit more comfortable. We'll do a reading from the book, As a Man Thinketh, just to get people thinking, you know, and I'll just be dead clear with them. And you know, don't worry, lads, I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to...
Cult.
This is not a cult.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a therapist, a doctor. I just want to share how passionate I am about what I've gone through and how much nature's helped me, and that this can help you too. So we'll do that reading, and then we'll do three big wolf howls, dead loud, just get it out there to try and help them feel a little bit more settled in or really awkward.
Either or.
And then we go off, and then you'll see that the guys that have come that are a little bit hesitant, they start to gain an intrigue and an interest in it, and then we'll stop and have a mindful moment, and we'll appreciate a view that we've seen, and we'll talk about it. We'll go, look at that tree there, like, how amazing is that? What's that giving you right now? Oh, it's giving me this. Or look at that that lake there, can you see the tree line in the back? What's that providing right now? You know, and it'll open up some sort of other conversation, and the conversations are really interesting. They'll just go,
yeah,
they'll go to anything. You know, yes, it
and
might
they won't be
about
thinking, though, will they? There's no kind of hidden agenda with what they say.
No, there's nothing. And then that person who I who might have been a little bit hesitant, comes up to me and goes, tells me, drops this big bomb about their life. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Inside, I'm like, so happy right now that this man has found the courage and the strength to just open up and share that with me. And I'm going to honour him with that by listening. Mm. And I'm going to just listen to him, and I'm going to make sure he feels safe with it. And it's just wonderful. You know, by the end of it, we're hugging loads more, we're going off, and, you know, we're hopefully feeling a little bit more fulfilled. So, yeah.
I think it really is, again, speaking from a man, it's so hard to open up. And to think, you know, to do that in front of strangers, because you start off as strangers, obviously you're trying to build this this group of mates, which is brilliant, but to be able to feel comfortable enough, because you're in nature, you're surrounded by like-minded people who aren't judging, and to be able to open up about something big, like a big bombshell like that, is massive.
Massive.
Because men just, we just don't open up.
No.
And we need to.
Yeah. But why do you think that is?
It's society. It's the pressures of society, that whole, that, you know, the man up. And men should be this, should be that.
Yeah, and there's an interesting thing that I heard, and it's like, opening up was perceived as a sign of weakness, wasn't it? Mm. But then I heard something the other day where people were like, well, are men getting weaker now because they are opening up?
Oh, wow.
And it's not, though, is it?
They're getting stronger
because we're shifting that pattern of ancestral patterns of being shut in and closed up. And maybe a lot was to do with the war and how men were affected by that, and it's coming through, and now it's just, you know, it's slowly filtering out. But, you know, there's a lot more well-being out there. There's a lot more meditation and yoga practices, breath work, cold water. There's all these natural good things that are being brought out to everybody now that we're accessing more of, and the shift is probably happening. So, you know,
I think roles have changed as well, haven't they? So when you look at, like, the conventional husband, wife, children, previously it was the man went to work and provided.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's very split, and you have stay-at-home husbands and stay-at-home dads. And I think that has a lot to say as well, because I know in the past we would look at, and I was speaking to older generations where they were like, well, yeah, I just went to work, and they didn't do anything with the children. They had no time as a dad.
Yeah. Well, that was like I was, you know. I was the guy going out all the time, coming back hungover the next day, and my children wanted me and needed me, and yet I was just so happy to go take the iPad, put Peppa Pig on.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you anything, you know, and that goes on so much still. And those children don't deserve that, you know, and we don't deserve that. So again, it's about awareness, connection, reflection, you know, giving your time to those that need it, giving your time to you because you need it.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, definitely the times are changing, aren't they, you know? Definitely.
So with Fancy a Walk, mate, what do you get out of it?
For me, it helps me on my own journey, you know, this idea of giving back from a non-ego perspective, yeah? And I'm in nature, so I'm being recharged, re-energized. I'm fulfilling this heart center of mine with more love from what surrounds me. I'm able to reflect. I'm able to listen to stories to other men and have resemblances so we can figure things out together. It's a whole group healing, almost. It's like we're all being healed together. We're all being intertwined. You know, we're all getting something different, but the same from it, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
I get to show men that, you know, we can sit down and meditate. Because actually that will help us to slow down and reevaluate. It'll help us to be connected to ourselves. I get to experience that with them. I get to show them that there's alternative methods to seek happiness, to seek comfort. You know, we do cacao, we drink cacao, which, you know, that's part of my journey that I went on, was to find what cacao meant for me and the spiritual benefits of cacao, the health benefits of cacao, and how we drink that in ceremony together. And there's no better setting to do that than in nature, you know. So I get to talk to the men about that and give them ideas where they could hopefully go away and think, you know what, I'm going to cut that out and try this, or I'm going to do that, you know. And so I get a lot of that, but this isn't about me. This is about us as men coming together and helping and healing each other.
As a collective.
As a collective, definitely.
Yeah.
And yet equally, very humble of you to say that, because if it wasn't for you, all of these men wouldn't be coming together as a collective and experiencing everything they're experiencing and improving their lives and finding that enjoyment and healing. So
yeah, and I think, who knows, like I said earlier, there was a calling, you know. I have a belief in the universe, the divine powers that be. This was most probably my intended path always, you know, to help. And it's helped me to rid my ego, because if I was here, if I was sat here now, the James of 5 years ago, I'd have been like, oh yeah, this is, look at me, I'm getting so much attention now. This is ace. I can't wait for, you know, I'm buzzing. That isn't me, you know. And so this calling that's put me here now is, it's helped me rid my ego. You know, so yes, I'm able to sit here now and offer this to everybody, but it's also what I'm meant to be doing.
Yeah.
For
me. If you think about being kind of in the forces, that was almost like a calling, but like a bit misguided. So being surrounded by men outside, just not in the right way.
Totally, yeah. Exactly that, you know.
Yeah, you probably thought you were going to get what you wanted from that, but you're now getting it from this. Two completely different things.
Totally, yeah.
Going to war as opposed to sharing love.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. And totally different aspects, aren't they?
Yeah.
Totally different environments. But it was definitely what was meant to happen for me, you know. And unfortunately, yeah, I came away, I've got tinnitus from it, I've got a dodgy elbow from it, and lots of achy joints from it. But it was all a lesson, and that and life is one big lesson. And
again, I think it gives you that, not that you needed that, but that's another way of men to connect with you if they've been through that experience themselves. They can resonate with that, can't they?
Totally, yeah, exactly. You know, there's many more stories that I could tell you that a lot of men would resonate with. And I do talk a lot about, you know, my past on the Fancy Walk Mates, because people need to hear them stories, you know, and what I got up to and stuff. So it gives them the courage to open up and... But that connection, so to know that he was one of them lads, and now look at him. Yeah, I can see it. I want that, you know. And everyone's got it. Every man's got it. We're all beautiful individuals, and you know, we've all got the capacity within us to love, and that's what's important to recognise.
So, when was your very first Fancy Walk Mate, and how did you put it out there?
It was last February, and it was like, it was one of the moments like, I'm going to do it. I've got this calling, and it was in nature when it came to me, you know. And like we were saying, my best thinking is done in nature, and the best ideas come through in nature. And I was always riddled with self-doubt, you know, and you know, not having that belief system, but something was there. I was like, I'm going to do it, and it's going to be the dragon's back, because it's like, or the picture of the dragon's back, as you know, it's like, wow, it's like powerful, you know. And I'm like, I'm being
masculine
drawn to that
as well.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Yeah, exactly. It was, maybe I was meant to go there and break that masculine view down. I was like, I'm going to do it. And I set up, I think I just put it out on, I created the group on Facebook, private group, created the event and just put it out there. And it was always important for me to just be honest from day one and try and just be, you know, and even the words that I use on my posts on social media or the events, it's very much Like, yes, this is about accessing self-love, lads. You know, it's creating opportunities so we can connect to the beautiful energies of nature. I use the word beautiful a lot, you know, which is, I think, a lot of men might go,
yeah, it's not a masculine word.
It's not a masculine word, but I use it because I want to connect to the beautiful energies in. I want to sit down and appreciate this magnificent place we call nature, and just being like that on the post, and will hopefully make the guys that are attracted to it think, this is what I'm about. So, yeah, I did it. And I set it up on a Facebook event. I think I got probably about 10 responses going, yeah, I'm going to come. I was like, okay. Turned up on the day and it was absolutely hammering it down. It was like, wow. But again, going back to what we said about nature, you know, it never lets you down. Even when the weather's like that, it never lets you down.
Mm. Always something to learn or say.
There's always something to learn. You get kitted up, you feel safe, you're protected, let's go. And I could see this car over the road and I was like, I think that's must be one of them there. I was like, okay. So I got out, was absolutely chucking it down. I was like, he's not going to come. And lo and behold, overcomes Jason. And it was one man that came. And I was like, okay, cool. And we just, bang, we connected, we embraced, we hugged, we did the reading from the book. Sorry, I actually read something else then, actually. It was something that, it was called The Man in the Arena.
Powerful.
Which I read that, actually, which was, yeah, super powerful.
Got that in our house, and then, framed.
Yeah, I have as well.
Yeah.
And then we went off and we spoke about everything, and Jason opened up about his whole life story. Jason's been through a lot in his life. And I was in awe of him because I was like, this is a man I've never met who's telling me absolutely everything. And I'm like, you know what? This is nature's doing it. We were achieving what we wanted. And I'm quite like, I'm never about me. And I used to be.
Yeah.
Everything was about me. And I still sometimes get lost in that. I want it my way, but I really work on that. And I'm like, and this thing, fancy what, it's not about me. It's not, and I know I've said it before, yes, I've created, but it's not about me. This is nothing without these men and what they're doing. And I'm like, this is awesome. Jason's doing it. And we had an amazing adventure. It was really testing. And along the way, we had to huddle up on the top of Parkhouse Hill because it was so bad. The wind was crazy. We had to hunker down. And there was another guy on his own coming up. And it was like he was attracted over to us. And we got there with him and we were talking to him. And explain what we're doing. He was like, wow, great. And he joined us. So then we recruited another man. Yeah. And as we're walking down, another man was there and we recruited him. And we're four of us now. Wow. We're all walking and we're all talking. And we're all sharing how we're feeling, what's going on. And you know what? It turns out that these guys had their own struggles too.
Mm.
And they were happy to bring them struggles to us.
Yeah.
And another moment of just like, beautiful.
Yeah.
This is absolutely beautiful. We finished the walk. That one of the guys had to go off his own way, but the first guy that met us came back in the camper van. We had cake, we had tea, and we huddled up together, and I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. I feel like I've connected with real true people, true men, and it was wonderful. And it's never about numbers for me. It was always about, can I help one person? Yeah. And I know on that day, I like to think that, you know, Jason was helped, and he's a regular attendee now, and he comes all the time. And I don't want to say attendee because it's not what it is. He's a regular mate. Yeah. He's a mate, you know. And we've got a good set of mates at the moment that are coming regularly. And honestly, it's beautiful, you know. There's just a set of people there that are really working on bettering themselves, that are really focused on these quality values of love, of honesty, of kindness, of compassion. And that's the things we talk about, is let's reconnect to these values that I think we may have lost as a man.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I was always taught to hold the door open for a lady, you know, and probably might be perceived as being sexist now doing that, or, you know, not equals, but let's do more of that. Let's be kind. Let's open the doors for people. Let's look at people when we're going to the shops and buying something and saying, how are you today? Are you okay? You know, not thank you. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah.
You know, let's look at people. Let's pick litter up from the floor when we see it. You know, let's be honest. And I always talk about like the little lies that we may tell, that, you know, if we get used to telling little lies, there's every chance that we're going to tell big lies. And, you know, and I was always told as a kid, honesty is the best policy. But I was the most compulsive, biggest liar that you knew. And, you know, I didn't think twice about lying. And
it was like more natural to lie than not.
Natural to lie, you know. And I don't know if that was because as a kid I did things like I broke a mirror or a window and I was shit scared of getting told off that I would lie. Maybe it was, and that's what led me on to tell more lies in my adult life. I don't know. But I got used to lying, and obviously it doesn't get you anywhere. So it's like, I talk to the guys about, you know, it's little things like if you've gone for a pee and you leave the toilet seat up and your partner says, have you left the toilet seat up? No, not me. You know, just be honest. Yes, you have left it up.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm sorry I've left it up because I've not thought about the impact of that. I've not thought about the consequence. And there's always a consequence to what we do. And for me, there was never a consequence in my actions and what I did. So yeah, it's just connecting back to those good, true, honest values. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at all. I'm not any guru or anything like that. I still am a man who reflects every single day.
Work in progress.
Works every single day. If I tell a lie, I'll, why did I do that? Right, what can I do to make that better? Right, why was I like that? Let's work on that, you know. Why can't I communicate this message to my partner? What's going on? Like, why am I sulking? You know, I still have all that, you know, but I'm aware of it. That's why I think awareness is so key.
And I think that that's important that you've just said that, because going back to what we were talking about earlier about how society may have put men into this box and said, right, all men must be like this. And that's just showing there that, yeah, it's a progress. You're not saying, I'm perfect now, this is it, I'm fixed, and every man should be able to just fix themselves.
Mm.
You're showing that, yeah, we are just human.
Definitely.
We are just men. We make mistakes, but now it's about recognising that you've done that and working on how to repair that.
Learning from it.
And learning from it. It's not about saying, yeah, I'm perfect, because nobody ever is.
No.
But it's recognising where you've gone wrong and how that has impacted others.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really important.
It is, and that's why when we do these, if we're consistently telling lies, or we act out in certain ways, we're holding on to these feelings of guilt, of shame, of resentment, of anger. You know, anger's a big one, you know. And if we don't work on clearing them, or we don't work on processing them, life will go down a destructive path, definitely. That's why nature is so important,
because
it can just offer you that time to reflect, to be still, to be calm, to be grateful.
That's a huge one as well, isn't it? Gratitude.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
So how can people come on one of your walks?
So there's an Instagram page, which is at Fancy Our Walkmate. And there's a Facebook page that's Fancy Our Walkmate as well. You can search them. We'll post our events on there. We'll do it through Eventbrite. The events are free. You know, that's something that I'm really passionate about, you know. And that, again, isn't me judging organisations that create opportunities for people to go and they do charge. I think, you know, that's what their calling is, great, but my calling isn't to do that. You know, nature's beautiful and it's there to be accessed by anyone at any time. So we create an Eventbrite link and we'll put a post out, you know, and people can just register on that. They can always message me. I'd always promote, you know, send us a message on Instagram or Facebook, and I'll guarantee I'll always reply with a voice note, because the connection,
the
voice. I want men to go, oh, right, okay, he sent me one back. Oh, he sounds all right. I mean, he's quite enthusiastic, because I am enthusiastic about Fancy Your Walk, Mate, and creating this for men. So that hopefully breaks down that little bit of fear that they're holding on to, or apprehension or vulnerability. You know, it'll maybe make them feel safer and better. So send us a message on that. You'll be able to search a private Facebook group as well, which is for men only. And, you know, anything can be shared on there. anything whatsoever. It's a safe space, yeah. You know, and we welcome, you know, as much as you want to put into it. Mm. We do the walks at the moment once a month. I'd love to do more of them, you know, but I do have a full-time job,
yeah. Life,
you know, a job that I do, and we've started to do midweek adventures as well, so we hope to do more of them. And you know, we've done some collaborations already with other organizations, which is amazing. You know, we had a recent one with a group called Off the Sesh, which is headed up by a guy called Matt Pink, who's a massive like sober advocate down in London. They came up, and you know, yeah, that was amazing, because you know, that's what this is about. It's showing men, lads, pals, chaps, fellas, geezers, whatever you want to call it, we are all the same. There's a lot of us there's a lot that are still stuck in that life of drink and drugs, you know, and we just want to get people into nature to show them that how better is that, you said it before, this is better than any drug, you know, and help to heal people. And that isn't that we look down or judge people who do drink, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what's really important.
Yeah.
And I want to get that out there, because there's a lot of people that are happy to drink. And, you know, my life was, I don't drink, by the way, 3 years in September. And my life was one that I wanted to live with drink.
Yeah.
I never wanted to not drink.
Yeah.
It was who I was and what I wanted to be. But I've just reevaluated my relationship with it and realized that actually it's not giving me anything. So I choose not to. But if you choose to, then I'm fine with that. And
yeah.
Don't feel like you can't come on our walks if you drink.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You know, it's not like that. Once a month at the moment. Had some amazing collaborations. We've got some really good things coming up with the Canal and River Trust. Want to do something with us, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and they understand the importance of being near water, which we also do. And we're going to be going down to London in September to do something with them, which is, well, they want us to come and bring our cacao, our meditation. There's going to be an ecologist there that's going to help us learn and understand about ecology. You know, we're going to have a bit of a combined thing like that. And, you know, we would like to do some challenges, but again, my views on like that word challenges,
because of the ego
thing, you know, it's one of them. But I love to, you know, I was all about challenge in my life. I was all about pain and pleasure, pain bringing me pleasure and making me feel like I'd achieve something. So these walks that we do generally aren't about that. They're slow paced.
Yeah.
They're there for anybody. But I do also recognize that a challenge now and again, or
it's an inner challenge, isn't it? Almost just for
yeah.
you.
The feeling you get from when you've completed it is amazing, and it gives you that. It's a free high that isn't bad for you.
No, exactly.
And it's the goal thing. I think the building up to it and having that thing to look forward to and
totally
training for it, maybe or whatever. I think it is important. I suppose it is all about going about it the right way and not going, right, this is all about my ego.
Yeah.
This is about the feeling that I'm going to get for achieving something.
Totally. And
the journey.
Yeah, I was just about to say, so like the planning stage of it, like I part of my favourite time of Fancy Walk Mate or anything is the planning. I love, you know, I'm old school, getting a map out, OS maps, that's where can we go, and, you know, looking at that and getting it ready. Same with the challenge, you know, I have done lots of challenges in my life, you know, I enjoy that aspect of it. Doing them sober as well now gives it more purpose for me. It's more intentional because I'm not finishing the challenge and going, let's go and get shit faced.
Yeah.
Come on, lads. You know, I'm reflecting on what that's actually meant for me. You know, and they do inspire, challenges do. So we've got the idea of obviously the National Three Peaks, which we're maybe doing it in September. And then next year we've got plans for the Limestone Way, the Gritstone Trail, just a few sort of things like that we feel are achievable for the majority.
Yeah.
You know, spread over a few days.
And I suppose if it's that team ethos as well, it's a little bit different rather than the competing, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. It's all good. I was just about to talk about my own challenge then, but then I thought, is that my ego? So probably is.
What is your challenge? Yeah, what have you got?
No, just some of the challenges that I've done in the past. You know, it was going to be linked into the idea of what a challenge now means to me. A few months ago, we ran coast to coast 90 miles across Hadrian's Wall. And there's a lot of reflection on that. And what I find now is that anytime I do something like that, personally, away from the group, I go deep with my words and my posts, and my journey has evolved from this boy that was once riddled with ego, who would post everything on Instagram about how amazing I've done, to now this man who's found peace and connection to nature and to what the actual challenge may mean and what it's opened up. And I'll talk about that, you know. So my personal Instagram, Lunar Mountains, is me.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to close down my previous Instagram, and at the time I was like, I want to express who I truly am, because I was worried about being laughed at by my mates. I was like, I can't do it. I can't put on my Instagram, you know. So this was early on in my journey. I couldn't do it. So I set Lunar Mountains up because the mountains are so powerful to me. You know, I've just come back from the Alps where, you know, that was just next level and just beautiful. Like being there, doing what I've always wanted to do from a non-ego perspective was amazing. The mountains hold a lot of purpose and passion for me. I was like, Luna. Well, my last name is Moon, so Luna, and I've got like developed this newfound connection to the moon through my name. And I'm like, why have I never thought of this?
Yeah.
You know, so it just allows me to be authentic. And early on in my journey, I was worried about it. I was apprehensive about it because I didn't want to get judged. But that's overcome now. And, you know, and again, in a non-ego way, I don't care what people think about me. Yeah. You know, and none of us should. We are all beautiful people, no matter what. And for those that don't support, that's choice.
Them,
and they're not the people you want to be aligned with, you know.
Can I ask, have you got any friends still from your previous life before you kind of had your awakening?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Any kind of joined you on the journey?
No. Okay. No, they haven't, but they understand it and we speak about it and they respect it. I've just come back from a stag do in Ibiza.
Oh, wow.
A few months ago with that group of friends, right? And wow, what a powerful, powerful journey. And that's something that I want to share about, but I've not had the chance to fully reflect on that yet, although it's a message that needs to be sent out to the guys out there to go, listen, I've just come back from a stag do in Ibiza, a place where I always dreamt of going as a lad.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be immersed in that scene of drugs, of clubbing, of debauchery. That's why I wanted to go to Ibiza, and honestly I dreamt about it for years and I never went, and then I've just been sober and it was the most beautiful time ever. There was no awkwardness from them to me, from me to them. They respected who I was, where I'm at. I was able to go off in the day to work out, to go and get up early and run and meditate and have a dip in the sea.
Did you go to Esvedra?
I could. Say again.
Did you go to Esvedra?
No. Went to, we did Ocean Beach. Did it all. It was crazy.
Esvedra is the huge rock in the sea.
Oh, wow. No,
so
no.
Spiritual.
No, I didn't go there. I would like to go back to Ibiza for
because it's a
reason.
very spiritual island,
place. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But I did it on my terms. Yes, there were times when it was tough, but we spoke about looking at ourselves in the mirror before, didn't we? I would go off to the toilet when I was maybe feeling a little, something coming in. I'd be like, listen, mate, you've got this. You are on this path. You are super powerful right now. Go out there and own it because you're a beautiful man. Look at you. And I was just talking to myself and I'd be like, high five, let's go back out, really feeling refreshed, knowing that I was where I'm meant to be. you know, and just had these things in my armory where I knew I could go off and do stuff like meditation and yoga and swimming in the sea and stuff. And I was fully present for it all. It was amazing. And yet I was probably one of the last to come in one night at 4 a.m. after dancing my socks off, you know.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Just being able to own who I am is through sobriety is mega, is amazing, you know, and it's there to be had, you know, and yeah, it was amazing. So yeah, I do have groups of friends still from my old life. But they get it, they understand
that. That level of, it's that word respect, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you've got
totally,
that. Because I think that's one of the big things that you've not drank for.
Just over 18 months.
Not really since January. And the biggest thing we find is when you say, I'm not drinking, the questions.
Yeah. Why?
Like you're
why
making
you
a really awful life choice.
Yeah, I've had all that. I've had it all. And it's sad that we still have, you know, live in a society that thinks like that. All I would say for that is you've got to own who you are. You've got to promote your sobriety and be happy and just own it with pride. You know, this is it. Nice one, you know. And it's tough, you know, I wouldn't advise people who are early on in their sober journey to go to somewhere like Ibiza or anything like that. You know, early on it's difficult. You know, I was able to go because I was fully accepting of who I am and what decision I've made. And, you know, I know that that's me for good now and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
That's why I can go to weddings and dance crazy and people be like, how are you doing? What are you on?
Yeah.
Like, I'm on life, mate.
Yeah.
What do you mean on life? I'm buzzing off life. I am so happy right now. And, you know, that wedding that I went to after Stag Do was just brilliant because it was just dancing. And I can go to these events and do all that because I'm happy, I'm content, I'm authentic. And I don't really worry about what people think of me anymore.
It's the benefits as well, isn't it? So having an amazing night out sober, knowing full well that you're going to wake up early in the morning and feel amazing.
And go for your run.
Go for a meditation.
Hike up a mountain.
The mornings are the key, you know, massively to get the mornings back are just beautiful. So, yeah.
Right, I'm not going to ignore this. You've mentioned going out to the Alps.
Yeah.
I know you didn't want to talk about yourself, but I can't ignore it. What have you been doing out there?
Right, so obviously the mountains for me, massive passion, I've done a lot of mountaineering in England, in Wales, in Scotland. I absolutely love it, you know. I climb as well, although I haven't climbed for a while, and that's something that I'd like to, that I know I'll get back to when I'm meant to, you know.
Yeah.
If I sat here and worried about climbing, I'd stress out, but it'll come back when it's meant to. And I had a realization before, actually, like, I've actually done quite a lot of mountains. In my youth I've done a lot, and it's a big passion of mine. I get so excited when I think of high altitude mountaineering, and that for me is a massive dream and aspiration, to be able to go to Nepal, maybe climb Everest, if not go to Pakistan, do some of the peaks there. You know, that's my dream.
Yeah.
And I know one day that will happen, some way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The start of that dream was going to Mont Blanc and climbing Mont Blanc, which I went with a really good friend of mine, really beautiful man, actually. And we shared the experience there. We didn't get to climb Mont Blanc because the weather wasn't
on
our side, you know. And again, there was a few moments there where I was like, okay, but I soon overcame that because
obviously
where I'm at, and you know, it wasn't meant to be. We still got to go up Gran Paradiso, which, you know, I'd never climbed a 4,000 meter peak before, so we did that. We got to do some epic routes on the Cosmic Arret, on the Aguil de Midi, which was just unbelievable. We did the Crocheuse Traverse, which was unbelievable. And I forget the other day we did, which was just an epic scramble up where we were greeted by visions of the Drew, which is an iconic peak in the Alps. That was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. We were just surrounded by these monsters and it was just unbelievable. So yeah, Chamonix was amazing. A week there was, and we were already planning to go next year. So,
yeah.
And you know, and that'll hopefully start the journey, you know, after that it'll be the Matterhorn, and then it's just natural progression.
Yeah.
And see where it'll take us, you know.
Yeah. But
it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Have you ever been?
No.
No.
No, never been to the Alps.
Yeah.
Again, somewhere it'll be on the bucket list, and you know, it's somewhere I'd love to go.
But this is important for me to share, is we'd been there twice before, a few years back, to do the Tour de Mont Blanc.
Mm.
So we picked it up in sections over a couple of years. And back then, I was like, I looked up at Mont Blanc and I was like, I'm going to climb you one day. This is going to happen. And it's like this self-belief that we have, that we can invite in, can manifest into that actually happening, you know. So it happened for us, and that's why I'm passionate about men being loving to themselves, so that they can invite that self-belief in. So no matter what dreams or aspirations they do hold, if they believe in that, and they can manifest it, and it will happen.
Mm.
You know, and it did for us, and that's why I know some point in my life that I will probably stand on the top of Mount Everest. How I'll get there, I don't know, because it's a long way, but that's irrelevant. I just know it'll happen some way, you know. So never stop believing.
That's it. That is the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that this has been an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And I say experience, like, you know, interviewing people or chatting to people. It's not generally an experience, or that you wouldn't look at it like that, but this evening has been, because, you know, we did what we did before we started recording, and just listening to you speak with so much passion, it's been really, really, it's beautiful. That's what it's been.
That's the best way to describe it. I'd summarise it
with that word as well. It's just beautiful, magnificent, incredible, surrounded by amazing people.
That's it.
It's been an absolute honour. Thank you very much for giving us the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Claire and I came away from Macclesfield Forest feeling so peaceful and relaxed. I've always been a huge fan of getting into nature for the benefits to your well-being and mental health. James was great and an absolute pleasure to be around. What he's doing is fantastic, offering men a safe space to talk and do the things that we sometimes find difficult to do, and allows us space to say the things we find difficult to express in fear of ridicule or being seen as weak. So if you're feeling that way, please seek some help and definitely find someone that you can talk to. As always, I am extremely grateful that you've chosen to listen to Summit to Talk About. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review on your streaming platform. And as a way of showing your appreciation, I'd really appreciate it if you could hit the share button and send it to a friend or a family member who you think might like to listen. And if you want even more, see the link in the show notes to become an official supporter and get access to the Patreon page and bonus video episodes, Something Else Brew With A View, where Claire and I chat about all things outdoors, raw and uncensored. You'll also bag yourself some exclusive stickers. That is all for this episode. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, and I'll see you in the next one.